Well, now that we've looked at some of the latest regarding face masks and children, let's move over to COVID-19 vaccines and children. FDA will soon issue a decision and guidance regarding COVID-19 vaccines for children 5 and under. Now, before you storm the streets or wear out your caps lock button on social media, how about we look at this by incorporating actual science and reality, shall we? Here to help us do that is an infectious disease specialist with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, Dr. Diego Hiano. Thank you for being here today, Doctor.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Chris.
And to learn more about the fantastic work of St. Jude and, equally as important, how you can become a team member through your helpstjude.org. And I just wanted to give some Jersey numbers here as we start off. About 203,995 of the 761,000 5 to 11-year-olds in New Jersey have been fully vaccinated. That means 26.8%. And for one dose at least from 5 to 11-year-olds, 36.4% of that section of the population, puts New Jersey ahead of the national average, but certainly not numbers where medical profession would like to see children be in, especially regarding this matter. When we look at, Doctor, the rate and trend of child hospitalizations from COVID, are we seeing a trend up? Is it a trend that's leveled off? Do we see an end to the any increases?
Yeah, so cases have been coming down, but they are still very, very high. So last week, the American Academy of Pediatrics reported over 600,000 cases of COVID-19 in children. Around 25% of all new cases are in children. And certainly because we are seeing this high number of cases, we are seeing a lot of hospitalization and some complications driven by just the amount of kids that are getting the virus.
Now, initially, and this is probably going to be confusing to people who like to focus on one point of a conversation and they don't understand how, through when something new relatively comes about, how understanding, comprehension, and a grasp on it can change. Initially, the belief was that kids don't get COVID. Then it was that, okay, kids can get COVID, but it won't be that serious for them. So as we have our base of knowledge in the here and now, when a child gets COVID, how hard can it potentially impact a child?
Yeah, you know, I think you bring a good point because certainly our knowledge has advanced and we've learned through the different waves how COVID behaves. I think importantly to understand is that the virus will always target those who are vulnerable. And at this point, everyone who is unvaccinated remains the most vulnerable, regardless the age you have. And as we vaccinate most of the elderly population, the virus have been moving their way down to younger population that are not as well vaccinated, or even now the less than 5 years of age that are really not vaccinated because there is no vaccine. Now, we know that hospitalization and complications remain low comparable to adults, but because we are having this amount of cases, we know that one every 100 cases in kids will result in a hospitalization. The complications usually, when it happens, is the need of oxygen and the need for going to the intensive care unit and needing some device to help you breathe. And then less frequent even than hospitalization is what we have learned and called the multisystemic inflammatory syndrome, which is a rare yet life-threatening complication that kids, especially those between 5 and 11, that can have several weeks after COVID.
As the doctor said, that the number of child hospitalizations is low when compared to adults. But that doesn't give much consolation to the parents or those children who are in the hospital. So if you're thinking of being dismissive of the number, I encourage you to think otherwise, just for the sake of humanity, if nothing else. Now, obviously, should the FDA approve the vaccines for the even younger children now, 6 months to 5 years old, it's not going to be a full strength, obviously. It's going to be a fraction of what us adults are getting.
Right. So you know, early on when the studies were developed by Pfizer, there was a different dose for those who are 5 to 11 compared to those above 12, and even a lower dose for those 6 months to 4 years of age. And at the time, with a very small group of kids, the dose that we are using is the one that was determined to be safe and effective. Now, as we move into vaccinating more kids under the studies, what we have seen is that after 2 doses, it looks like there is an immune response, but it's not as high as it was expected and what we think it's needed based on what we learned so far by vaccinating older kids and young adults.
Oh, Dr. Diego Liano from St. Jude Children's Research Hospital on the web at stjude.org, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. The most common, at least from polls I've seen, reason why parents have yet to get their children vaccinated, they have a wait-and-see attitude about the vaccine. That being said, are there legitimate medical reasons for a child not to get a COVID vaccine?
Yeah, Chris, I think that's a great question. There is none. The only really contraindication is if you had a severe allergic reaction to a component of the vaccine. But other than that, the allergic reactions have been very, very rare. And I think the 2 most important points for parents are, so first, the concern of long-term effects. And I want to make sure that people understand, when we talk about vaccine safety and we talk about years, usually that means because we have to vaccinate millions and millions of people to detect rare side effects. But not because those side effects appear many years after giving the vaccine. In the case of COVID-19 vaccine, we have vaccinated with Pfizer alone over 400 million people in this country. And we know all the rare side effects that appear because we have already vaccinated enough individuals. So it's not about years of research to look at long-term effects, because beyond 6 weeks after vaccination, there are no side effects related to vaccine.
I've been reading a lot about it's called long haul COVID. It's something that obviously it's going to be more and more discovered about it, but it's basically long term lasting effects after someone has recovered from the virus. Since a child's immune system and whole physical system is yet to be fully developed, is a child more at risk for what we are calling long haul COVID?
That's a great question, Chris. And from what we've learned so far, it looks like prolonged COVID or long haulers, it's less common in children when compared to young adults or the elderly, but it has been described. So we still have much to learn about it, but certainly we see that even kids who had asymptomatic infection or very mild symptomatic infection can persist with symptoms for several weeks. And especially, for example, if we think of teenagers, this has been pretty disruptive because many of these individuals could have fatigue that would not allow them to play sports, or they have what they call mental fogginess, which is have a hard time to concentrate, which affect their daily life and their performance in schools, to things like persistent headaches, loss of the sense of taste or smell. So certainly these are not things that are nice to have for several weeks, even though if you had a very mild case of COVID.
For you listening, if you're one of those wait-and-see individuals, or you're getting your medical advice off of social media or certain podcasters, hopefully what Dr. Liano has shared here is going to compel you to do some more actual scientific research first and understand the consequences of hesitation versus taking action for the health and well-being of your child. I mean, it's odd to be able to say something like that as an encouragement, but unfortunately, that is how some people are approaching the idea of COVID vaccines and their children. Learn more about St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital at stjude.org. We've been joined by one of their infectious disease specialists, Dr. Diego Liano. Doctor, thanks so much for the realistic scientific look at this situation. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you are very welcome. It was my pleasure and always happy to come and bring good information for you and your listeners.